Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Andrew on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Andrew, I think we have found the fountain of youth. Not you
really?
And me. We're not smart enough to figure that out.
And where is it located?
We might have stumbled across it. We've got Dr. Greg Fay. He's a chief scientific officer and co-founder of a company called Intervene Immune. Dr. Fay, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much. Happy to be here.
Well, thank you for joining us because, you know, maybe that's a bit dramatic in terms of the introduction here, but I was reading some research or I guess some results of some research that you were doing, and you may have stumbled across some interesting material here. So Fountain of Youth, everybody's thinking about reversing aging, and I'm not like Andrew here is desperately old and chronologically can't do anything about that.
Thanks, Dave.
However, biologically, you may have stumbled across something that that could help us maybe reverse that process a little bit. Can you tell us a little bit about the trial you were running and sort of what you stumbled upon here?
Sure. The reason that we did the trial in the first place was to address a very specific aspect of aging, which is immunological aging. If you look at the statistics, you'll find that everybody that gets the flu or dies of pneumonia tends to be over 65.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought we could maybe stop that by regrowing your immune system. Your immune system depends on a gland that's in your chest cavity called the thymus. Most people don't even know about it exactly, but without it, we'd all be dead. And unfortunately, we start to lose the thymus about the time we go through sexual maturity, in other words, puberty. And by the time you get to 40, you don't have a great deal of thymus left. But the thymus makes T cells, which guard your body against infectious disease and cancer. And so we kind of thought it was going to be important to maintain your thymus and maintain your T cell production. And it turns out that there's some clues in the scientific literature about how to do that. So we went about regrowing the thymus, and we had some success with that, very statistically significant results, and we saw signs of reversal of the immunosenescent trends that normally would be there. But along the way, we also found this other rather extraordinary effect, which is does in fact indicate that at least it looks like it's possible for human aging to run in reverse if you do the right thing. So this opens up some very interesting possibilities.
Well, let's talk about those possibilities. You've got our attention now. I mean, when I was reading this, I thought, well, this is this is really interesting. Maybe you can explain to us sort of what you mean, first of all, biological versus chronological aging or immunological.
Yeah, absolutely. So there is a difference. So a lot of people are the same age, but those people all of the same chronological age tend to be pretty different in terms of their biological age. And so if you want to look at what might change aging in humans, we have to be able to measure it. We can't just rely on your chronological age. We have to be able to know your biological age, how old you really are on a cellular level. And it turns out that a technique for doing that was developed a few years ago, and we had the great privilege of being able to apply that to the people in our trial. And we found that, at least biologically speaking, the people were younger at the end of the trial than they were at the beginning.
And it was significant. We're talking a couple of years or more in many cases. Now, this was a small trial to begin with. What tell me what has to happen now. So if we've stumbled on this and it looks like you could reverse things, biological signs of aging, and you know now you're chronologically 65 and more susceptible to, say, the flu, but biologically maybe you're 55 years old and less susceptible. What are the implications of this, I guess, is what I'm trying to get to.
Well, there are probably a great number of implications, both practical ones for your future health and also scientific ones, mm-hmm. sort of understanding actually what we have done. We're not quite sure how we accomplished what we accomplished. The mechanisms have not been established yet, so we're going to have to do some background science and sort of catch up to the results that we achieved. Mm-hmm. But in terms of our own lives, wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have to get pneumonia after we got to be 65 or so, if we didn't have to die of the flu, if we had new diseases coming along that we don't have vaccines for, wouldn't it be nice if our immune systems could protect us better for longer? And the other side of it, it seems like the immune system and aging are more deeply connected than meets the eye at first. So if we can improve your immune system, we can roll back your aging at the same time. You're just healthier for longer. And one of the big problems we have as a society is that we are accumulating more and more old people, and there's fewer and fewer younger people to pay the bills. And if the people don't get older as fast, or if they can actually take a time out from aging, put aging on hold or even roll it back, then that whole huge demographic problem starts to become a lot smaller. So there's many, many implications of this, I think.
My first thought when I was reading through the summary of the results was around just around what you were touching on, sort of the healthcare system. We've got an aging demographic that's putting a lot of pressure, and it's only begun, on the healthcare system. And there's things, obviously, that each of us can be doing to try to minimize the strain we personally put on the healthcare system. But if we can actually get our bodies stronger from, the immune system fighting more and more disease on our own, versus having to rely on the medical system, you know, we're going to have to, in my opinion, rely on technology, whether it's our own biological technology or other technology, really to, I think, support that big wave that you've referred to that's coming from a healthcare perspective. I think that's massive. Now, these trials take a long time. Like you said, you haven't even established what the mechanism is to do that. So tell us a little bit about what has to happen next.
Right. So we are looking to set up another trial. It's going to be an extension of our original trial. The original trial was called the TRIM trial, and we're going to call this the TRIM-X trial to indicate we're going to try to replicate our previous results and go beyond them. So one of the things that we want to do is to develop a version of our treatment that's more affordable for the average person and more convenient for the average person, and also that we can study in more detail. So we're hoping to set that up, fingers crossed, before the end of the year in Southern California. And if we can get that established, then another couple of years from now, we'll have a lot more information, and we'll be able to maybe start getting this close to being deployable clinically. One good thing about our treatment, surprising as this may seem, is that all of the elements of the treatment are very familiar to the FDA and not very scary to the FDA. So we did our trial under a new drug investigational application with the FDA, but they approved the trial very easily. So I think that this may be quick to get to actual practical applications compared to other pharmaceutical interventions into aging.
I think I can speak for everybody and all our listeners and say I wish you the best of luck. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
Been joined by Dr. Greg Fay. He's a chief scientific officer, co-founder of Intervene Immune. That sounds like that would add to the quality of care, quality of life that we could have in retirement, and that's going to be part of the topic, the health bucket's part of our conversation at our upcoming seminar.
It is, Dave, and we're going to be having that seminar on Tuesday, September 24th, 7 p.m. at Four Point Sheraton by Calgary West. That's next to COP. Give us a call if you'd like to register, 966-8400 or at morethanmoneyradio.com.
Okay, terrific. We look forward to seeing you there. Stick around after the break, because if you're interested in the four S's that lead to successful, happy retirements, stick around for that. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.